Right now we're going to talk about the subject of worry. There is an author named Dr. Greg Jantz, and he's written 7 Answers for Anxiety. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Gregory Jantz. He's the founder of the Center, which is a place of hope in Edmonds, Washington, voted a top 10 facility for depression treatment in the United States. And Dr. Jantz is a best-selling author of 40 books and a go-to media authority on mental and behavioral health afflictions, appearing on CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, and CNN, and of course, Vocal Point. His website, by the way, is aplaceofhope.com. Dr. Jantz, thank you so much for joining us on this program. Appreciate it.
Well, it's so good to be with you, and what an important topic right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say that COVID-19 and the response to COVID-19 has added to America's anxiety? And if that's not a leading question, I don't know what is.
Well, my goodness, has it ever? Depression, Jerry, was at the top of the list not long ago, but now mental health disorders, anxiety is very much at the top of the list. That means we really have an anxiety epidemic, and that looks like a lot of people who are suffering. And anytime you take, I'll call it confinement, anytime you take confinement and do that over time, the other word for that is quarantine, but we're confining people, and we mix it with some unknowns about their future.
Hmm.
And when you do that, anxiety goes way up.
Would you say that sleeplessness has been a problem lately because of all these different anxieties and COVID-19?
Yes. Well, absolutely. We know there are the three epidemics. You know, we have a pandemic, but the three epidemics, which just means a whole lot of people, is the anxiety, depression, and you just picked number three. It's sleep and the sleep issues. So we know that this is huge. Insomnia, sleep disorders, people waking up, really some having like a panic attack in their sleep. They're waking up cold, sweaty, heart racing. And so we're seeing more and more of this.
You know, it's so interesting. I'm sorry, but I think of this line from a W.C. Fields movie where this one character complains that he's got insomnia, and W.C. Fields says, well, I know the perfect recipe for that. What's that? A good night's sleep. So let me ask you a question.
Yeah, yeah.
How do people fall back asleep? I know sometimes there's the issue of falling asleep, but then how do you fall back asleep if you're awoken in the middle of the night and you still are tired and you want to keep sleeping, and you have to keep sleeping, but anxiety or something is keeping you up?
Well, it's what you do prior to sleep that is so important. What is your pre-sleep routine, the hygiene? Have you had a day full of stimulus overload in the news or online? What are you doing that last hour before bed? You know, what are we putting in our mind as we go to sleep? Maybe you need to keep a little journal by the bedside, write down all your concerns, write them down. But make perhaps the last thing that's going in your mouth. Pick a promise, a verse that means a lot to you, and say it out loud. Make that the last thing you say and do before you go to sleep. Now, remember, nutrition, exercise, all that also affects everything.
But you're saying that the last hour before you go to sleep is critical, and so maybe you wouldn't recommend following the news or the bad. There's a lot of news stuff, and a lot of it is bad news lately. But anyway, just don't follow the news at least an hour or so before you go to bed.
I would say let's give it a break. There is a saturation emotionally, and that is such an important piece to understand, that you can overload your brain, and it's like toxic from everything you're putting in it. So ask yourself, where is my point of focus?
Mm.
What am I spending 80% of my time even thinking about? So important.
All right, you referred to Bible verses. Give an example of one or two that you use before you go to bed.
Well, the verses are so important that I've got a verse card right here, and it changes. But one of them, you know, I'm thinking more about verse. We can be real self-absorbed with our own stresses, but I'm thinking more about how can we be of service to others. And so, you know, I think it's a time for grace. I think of a verse from 1 Peter 4:8. That this is one recently. Above all things, I will have fervent love for others. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Okay. Right now, sometimes it's a challenge. It's like, okay, having grace because we're so stressed out. You know, so remember the needs of others.
Okay, give another example of a Bible verse that you quoted, you know, before you went to bed that helped you.
Well, one is every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father, heavenly lights, who does not change. There's a verse in James. So God doesn't change despite what's going on, and let's claim these promises. Hmm. Let's say them out loud. And I know maybe it sounds a little, oh, I don't know, corny to do, but find yourself in a practice of speaking God's word out loud.
Hmm.
This is just one of the antidotes we want to practice for anxiety.
Sure. Okay, your book is called 7 Answers for Anxiety, and we have about 7 minutes left. So let's go ahead and explore these. What are the 7 answers? I assume God's word is part of at least one of these 7 answers, but go ahead and let's just take this through step by step. Number one, what's the 7 answers?
There's different steps. There's one of the things we talk about, stop feeding the monster of anxiety. What are you doing that is feeding this? Because fear causes us to take great leaps in our thinking. And sometimes we make assumptions and we're quick to judge. So, you know, that's one of them we need to look at, and how to readapt our thinking so we're not taking these quantum leaps.
So, drill down on that. I mean, in fact, you know, okay, again, I'll go back to an old comedy movie. In the Marx Brothers, Groucho Marx once says, you know, I'm going to hold out my hand of peace and, you know, hand it out to this, you know, fellow governor of another state or whatever, and he's going to shake my hand and we'll have peace. But what if he doesn't shake my hand? What then? You know, and then he almost like works himself up into this big lather how he's going to, you know, this other guy is going to essentially declare war on him. And because of that, when the other guy comes and is ready to shake his hand, they insult each other, you know, because he worked himself up in his mind. So in other words, we have to, how do you deal with that? Like when you're dealing with one of your clients, how do you tell them, okay, you gotta rethink this thing and unplug, in effect, this wrong thinking that you're engaged in?
Yeah, and I think it takes some practice. I think, I talk about making assumptions. I talk about we don't know what to believe. People are feeling a lot of just betrayal in the media and news. We don't know what to believe, what to trust. And so one of the things that we need to look at is a lot of untruths. So those mistaken beliefs, the assumptions that we're making. So I want you to, in fact, there's some fun things that we're going to do in this little, by the way, I made it a little book because when you're anxious, it's hard to concentrate. So you need information quick and simple bite sizes. So that's what we did here.
Okay, tell me a story of one of your clients that you were able to help. They had an aha moment thanks to, by God's grace, you were able to help them. They had one of these false assumptions, false beliefs that was getting them down. Just give us, you know, one of the stories of a healing, a mental healing that took place.
One of the things that we're seeing more of right now is panic attacks, anxiety attacks. And what I'm seeing here is the person and a client who was driving down the middle of the freeway and all of a sudden started to shake, vision got blurry, heart was pounding. And he literally thought he was having a heart attack, and he was working to get his car over to the side of the road. And he did, but he didn't know what was going on. And what was going on was a panic attack.
Wow.
He had, you know, chronic stress. And after a while, the body's response to anxiety could be a panic attack. And, you know, 15, 20 minutes time passes, and he realizes that he's okay. And so then it becomes the fear of the fear. And that's where you begin to believe the lie that something's terribly wrong with me, and you feel like you feel out of control. And this is a client who then went on to, for a while, to really have quite a few panic attacks. So learning the fear of the fear is really was his point of focus. So he needed to relearn. And you can, it takes practice and with God's help, but you can charge, if you will, of your body's response and retraining it. So, but anxiety will go somewhere.
Okay, that reminds me of a statement from Dr. D. James Kennedy. He once made the point, talking about grief, and he said, grief will out. So in other words, you got to almost like deal with it, you know, name it in effect. Name your fear. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we're going to name it, but we're also going to, what do I need to attend to begin to lower these levels of anxiety? What am I believing in my life? Where is my point of focus? For him, his point of focus ended up, you know, 90% of his day, he's worried this is going to happen again. So worry compounds and compounds layer upon layer of anxiety.
Okay, is this guy better than in that example you gave of the driving down the highway?
Yes. This was a few months ago, and yes.
And what was the change for him? How were you able to help him, or was God able to help him, you know?
Well, I think with fear, it's a spiritual battle at times. And so for him, he needed to obviously let go of some things. His faith has so increased.
Hmm.
And so for him, there's an excitement and passion to see how God did help him. And, you know, he needed to change some things. He needed to work on sleep. He needed to work on his nutrition. He's going out for walks twice a day. He's doing some things that he hasn't done before.
Okay, good. All right, we have a couple minutes left. What other answers are there for anxiety?
So, well, I'll tell you, there are probably more than seven, but one of the things that I want to point out is the chapter that's Making Healthy Choices. How do I reestablish making healthy choices in my life? How do I come to a place where I'm doing good nutrition? I am doing those, maybe it's the walking twice a day, but I've got to begin to get back to what is good self-care.
Does sugar play a part in the negative way?
Nutrition and sugar and caffeine, those are all the things that we need to look at. Absolutely.
Comment on caffeine. Can coffee in some ways add to one's anxiety?
Well, you know, I think if we're overdoing it and we're overstimulating our bodies, absolutely. And we know that that can affect sleep. We know that caffeine overuse, you know, it's going to be causing the central nervous system to kind of be anxious. So there is a point, you know, the 10 cups of coffee probably are not good.
Huh. Okay, so the person who's got the coffee fed intravenously, that's not a good habit, is it? I'm just kidding. Okay.
Probably not going to work well, yep.
Okay. All right, we have 10 seconds left. I want to go ahead and give your website again, aplaceofhope.com, the name of the book, Seven Answers for Anxiety. What would you like to say in closing about worry?
Well, worry is a mental process, and you can be retrained, and there is hope. We've been treating people for over 35 years, and I can tell you can move through anxiety.
Okay, Dr. Greg Jantz, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Good to be with you.